Our reading from the New Testament today comes from Paul's letter to the church, Christians in Rome, beginning with chapter 8, verses 12 to 25. This is the great chapter 8, which is very dense, very deep, and very meaningful. Beyond where I read today are some of the greatest words in the Bible, but our lectionary gives us verses 12 to 25. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Paul is writing, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage of decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Move among us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, and speak your word through my words. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Psalm 139, our Old Testament reading today, is not a psalm I grew up with. In Sunday school, in Bible school, in vacation Bible school and church, we learned Psalm 23 and Psalm 121. And the psalm that went with Good Friday, Psalm 22. But not the great Psalm 139, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." I don't know why it wasn't taught. It seems to go very well with the perennial Sunday school lesson that we should be good because God is always watching us. In my earliest days, I'd get mixed up in the song "Santa Claus is Coming to Town," because he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Because we were taught that those words applied to God, too. I'm glad that I was an adult when I discovered Psalm 139, because instead of scaring me, the concept of God searching and knowing me and always being with me is a comfort. Because as an adult, I know how easy it is to get lost and to feel alone and to wonder if God knows and cares. Several months ago, in April, one of our Meadow Lakes residents, a beloved member of the Meadow Lakes ministry, was lost. You may remember. His name was Philip Brooks. And on a Friday, after visiting his wife in the health care center at Meadow Lakes, he got into his car, drove out of the gates of Meadow Lakes, and was never seen again by any of us. We don't know why he drove to South Jersey. We don't know why he couldn't find his way back home. And speculation is useless. All we knew and all we know is that he was lost. Lost to us and lost to himself. Throughout that dreadful week of searching for Phil and of waiting for word of him, Psalm 139 was right in the front of my brain. It came there unbidden. What I mean, I guess, is that God put it in my head. Lord, you have searched me and known me. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Phil might have been lost to himself. He was certainly lost to us, but he was never, ever lost to God. Psalm 139 became my watchword that week. At Bible study, in worship, in meetings, we began or ended with the psalm and a prayer for Phil. As the week went by and hopes for him being found alive dimmed, we drew comfort from the idea that God was holding Phil by the hand. I felt helpless that week. I couldn't find Phil. I couldn't produce him like a rabbit out of a hat. By the most magical thinking in the world, I couldn't close my eyes and then open them and see him back at his post by our sound and broadcast system, working the controls so that our worship service would be heard and seen. I only had the God of Psalm 139 to help me and our congregation get through this time. Until he was found. This past week has been another very difficult week, but on a global scale, not on a personal one. We started this week hearing about children pouring over our southwestern borders as refugees into the United States, children fleeing violence and danger. Some sent by their parents, some threatened so much that they fled for their lives, some came seeking their parents who were already in the United States, but all having a harrowing time to get here. And when they arrived, they were helpless and homeless, and in many cases unwanted. Then, midweek, Israel and Palestine blew up again. The conflict has been going on forever, it seems. But this time the site is Gaza, and children, again, children, both Israeli and Palestinian, had been kidnapped and murdered and killed. And the rage that simmers all the time gave way to deadly missile attacks and mortar rounds. Then on Thursday, a civilian airliner full of passengers flying peacefully from one country to another was shot out of the sky in Ukraine airspace. And everyone, including 80 children sitting on the laps of their parents, were killed. Children, again, children. It always hurts more, doesn't it, when children are involved. Each of the children in these situations and all of the adults, whether displaced or killed, are created by God. Each of them is a child of God, whether Christian, Jewish, Muslim, or of no religion whatever. In the words of Psalm 139, in God's book were written all the days that were formed for them, when none of them yet existed. Did God intend for them to be refugees, do you think? Or kidnapped and killed, bombed out of their homes, or shot out of the sky? No wonder the next words of Psalm 139 are, "How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them, they are more than the sand." Because the truth is, we do not know. We do not know why terrible things happen to people, why Phil got lost, why children are refugees, why planes are shot out of the sky. If you ask the old Presbyterian question about predestination, did God predestine these children to be homeless and those children to be dead? I cannot answer it because I don't and never have understood predestination, let alone something called double predestination, which they tried to teach us at Princeton Seminary. Let's pass that buck to Lou Mitchell. He went to Harvard. If each of us is created by God, each of us fearfully and wonderfully made, in the words of Psalm 139, then surely God is our parent. As one commentator puts it, our single parent. And we are accustomed to calling God Father. And so most of us think of ourselves as children of the Heavenly Father. One of my favorite memories of my spiritual pilgrimage to the Holy Land several years ago was being near the western wall of the Temple of Jerusalem, the only part of the Second Temple of Jesus' day, destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, to be near that wall near sundown on a Friday evening as the time of Sabbath was drawing near. Converging from all sides, walking so rapidly they were almost running, were ultra-Orthodox men coming to the wall to celebrate the beginning of Shabbat. One such man brought his young children whose legs were not long enough to keep up the pace. The little boys were crying after their father, "Abba, Abba." In our turns, "Daddy, Daddy, wait for me." And I thought of Jesus calling God, "Abba, Abba." And Paul, in our text from Romans today, telling us, that the Holy Spirit assures us that we are God's children and that we too have the right and privilege to call to God, "Abba, Abba." We live in a broken and sinful world, far removed from the Eden that God created before the fall. Bad things happen in our world all the time. How do we bear it? How do we have the courage and the faith to keep going, watching these bad things happen without being paralyzed, knowing that one of these days these bad things might happen to someone I love, or even to me? You guessed it. Psalm 139 comes through again. At least for me it does, and I hope for you. Verse 18, I come to an end. I am still with you. I want to leave you with two thoughts. The first is one that surfaces on the internet every time there is a disaster, natural or human generated. It is from the theologian that most of us understand the best, Mr. Rogers, who, besides being the host of a wonderful television program for children, was also a Presbyterian minister. Mr. Rogers said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" To this day, he goes on, especially in times of disaster, "I remember my mother's words, and I am always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world." So let us look for the helpers and help our children to look for them too. And if the occasion ever arises, let us stand ready to be amongst the helpers. And the second thought I want to leave with you comes from a beloved show from the mid-20th century musical theater, American musical theater, Carousel by Oscar and Rodgers and Hammerstein. It is a song sung to a young woman whose husband has just been killed, who feels that the worst thing in the world has happened, and she does not know how she can go on. For those of you who do not know this show and do not know this song, and I know many of you do, the words go like this. "When you walk through a storm, keep your chin up high. And don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain. Though your dreams be tossed and blown, walk on with hope in your heart. And you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone." Whenever this song is sung in a show or in a review or in a soccer stadium in Ireland or just heard on the radio, even strong men cry. Who do people think this song is about? Who do they think walks beside them? We know. We know who walks with us, don't we? The one who holds our right hand. The one who will never let us go. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be all might, majesty, dominion, and power henceforth and forevermore. Amen.